Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show. Apologies for being away for a couple of weeks, but it was for various reasons. Firstly, terrible performances. Basically, we very much on this show don't want to be like those idiots down the road on various different scum TV or scum podcasts or whatever it is. We don't like to milk our team's demise. We don't like to basically just sit here and get depressed and get angry about stuff. It's not the way we operate, and I'm sure you guys that have listened to the show from the beginning know exactly what we're about. So it's not like that. We just didn't want to turn it into a rant show, and it very, very much was like that, especially after the Sheffield United games, which ended very badly, and also the Bournemouth game that was just embarrassing, I think. So we can sort of just skirt over it before we obviously talk about the Arsenal match. There was an improvement, but we'll go on to that. So let's sort of skirt over it and sort of just analyse how you think it's been over the past few days. Because obviously we did get the result against Everton. We did keep a clean sheet against Bournemouth, but then we also didn't register a shot on target. That was the most embarrassing one out of all of them. I think I'm used to sort of conceding bad goals as a Spurs fan over the years, but to not register a shot on target against the Bournemouth team that had conceded 4 against Newcastle, that had conceded 5 against Man United, that had conceded 2 against Crystal Palace, something was up there. And I think, obviously, we saw yesterday with the Arsenal game that he is coming up with another form of sort of defence into attack and really is basically giving the other teams possession, which we'll come on to in a second. But what was out of those results, out of the Sheffield United game and against the Bournemouth game, Lee, what was the most frustrating for you and the most worrying if you're looking forward to the future? Was it the defensive lapses? Was it, obviously, the Aurier, Dier, Sanchez sort of trio conundrum that let in 3 goals against Sheffield United, who were a team very much out of form? Or was it the fact that we just looked completely clueless in attack against a Bournemouth side that, again, had shipped goals for fun in the past few weeks?
Initially, I have to say, initially it was the conceding 3 goals against Sheffield United. And then one of our wannabe rivals went down there and they shipped the same and couldn't get past their keeper at all. So all of a sudden, it didn't look so bad.
Make it any better, though? I don't think that makes it any better.
But when you're in a really, really dark place, and then you see this little flicker in the corner, it's got to light up.
That does seem to be the life of a Tottenham fan at the moment. Pretty much, we are in a dark place.
It's one of these things that when it happens to somebody else, you know that they can't come for you. You know, they're all sitting there on their phones waiting to send you messages, and then they go to the same team and they end up worse off. So there's a little bit of, there's a crumb of comfort to take in there. But getting back to us, the goals, the defence, the way we give the goals away again, just the lacking concentration, the poor positioning, the decision making it continues to be a concern because it's happening every game, even when we're not conceding. Ultimately, I look at our squad and our riches and our strengths lie in our forward play. And we went to Bournemouth and we didn't get a shot on target. And that's got to be a concern, whatever way you look at it. You know, the fact that they penned us in our own half for 25 minutes, 30 minutes, we couldn't get out. We couldn't get out of our own half against Bournemouth. And we had no attacking nous. We didn't even look like we had a bit of an idea. And that's got to be a concern when you think that our strength lies within the attacking players in that squad.
But where does that come from? Because, I mean, I suppose if you look at the team sheet and if you are playing a team of Winks, Sissoko and Lo Celso, who does naturally drop deep, he's not really picking up that sort of number 10 role. He's not when he's played in that 3, as it were, he's not really in those advanced positions where I think we would like him to be if you are going to play Winks and Sissoko. So therefore, maybe Winks or Sissoko should step out of that team and Lo Celso should play further back, and then we would have another attacking player like Lamela or like Bergwijn on the pitch who has more attacking thrust. So that's the first one in terms of, is it a formation thing? But then if you look at the players that are on the pitch still that did play against Bournemouth, they're all players that have scored goals. They're all players that have created chances. So where is it coming from? Because tactically, Jose's not saying don't score goals. He's just saying be a little bit more compact and maybe sit back. And I know as Tottenham, we've always struggled against teams that have set back behind the ball. But it just seems like, you know, I was watching the Brighton game the other day and Sterling had a shot and it went in from outside the area. And I was like, what's all that about? I just couldn't believe it. I was like, what? I haven't seen that in a while where a player's taken a shot from outside the area. I mean, it's just amazed me what happened. So what do you think the actual reason is that we had that struggle in front of goal, and where do you think it's come from?
It's got to be in the makeup, and it's got to be in terms of, are the players understanding what's actually been asked of them? Because you talk about the sort of players there, and when you look at the Bournemouth game, you had Lamella, Kane, Bergwijn, and Lo Celso with Winks and Sissoko there. And you're right with Lo Celso. I think he just needs to drop in instead of Sissoko. And we need to replace Musa. Musa has been superb in terms of how he's turned everything around, how he's won the fans over, how he gets around the pitch and bails out Serge in the right back position. He is a lot of work goes, you know, he does, unfortunately, for want of a better word, does a lot of the water carrying, a lot of the dirty work. He goes around, he breaks it up. But he's now arriving in positions or finding himself in positions where actually, tactically, he's just not good enough for where
we want. Would that not be a case of swapping him out for Winks?
Absolutely. That's my point. So therefore, you know, we need to, as you rightly point out, maybe it's got to be Lo Celso sits in there a bit deeper and Sissoko gives way to an extra attacking player. But in saying that, we had three players of decent quality against Bournemouth and we still didn't rustle up a shot and probably didn't get anywhere near looking like we was going to rustle up a shot. And that's got to be a concern in the way we're playing. That's got to be a concern in the way we're setting up. And do the players know what Jose is actually asking of them? Because it's all very well sitting there and taking and letting teams have the ball. And you're right, we'll move on to the Arsenal game shortly. But you can let teams have the ball and play around in front of you. I'm all for that. That's absolutely fine. And then hit them on the break. But Bournemouth ain't trying to do that. Bournemouth weren't trying to hit us on the break. So they were sitting right back and going, well, we'll just keep playing. And then all of a sudden, they found themselves from the edge of their 18-yard box on the halfway line and from on the halfway line to the edge of our 18-yard box. And Wilson and King all of a sudden looked like Sterling and De Bruyne. And they was like pulling strings around us and messing us about. And they just camped out there. You know, they were sat on the halfway line, and we couldn't even put a long ball over the top because actually, when you think about it, Lamella and Kane don't really have that pace. And Bergwijn looked really leg heavy that day. He looked like he's had his momentum taken out of him by being chucked on the bench, probably wrongly, in my opinion. So we look a bit short of ideas, and we look a bit confused. Is probably the right way, I'd say, confused to what's been asked of them.
It seems to me, Kofi, that the tactics that they seem to be employing is sort of tippy tappy, tic tac toe football around the penalty area. And then basically Serge will find a bit of space and they'll get the ball and it'll go out to him and then he'll hit the first man. And actually on the subject of Serge, obviously from the show, we wanted to send our condolences to him and his family because we heard the news that his brother was fatally shot this morning in France. So we just want to, from the Thing I Love Most show, send our condolences out to Serge and all of his family. Very, very sad news to hear that. But on the subject of the play against Bournemouth, it did seem that it was coming out to him. And as we know, he's not at the moment got his crossing boots on. So there didn't seem to be a plan B, as it were. That did seem to be the plan, Kofi. And did that surprise you?
It's not surprising. I think, you know, we've seen for some time that we struggle with organised teams, whether it be Sheffield United or Burnley or Bournemouth. If a team gets back and they put those two rows of four in front of us, we struggle. And I think, you know,
This is something that's happened for a long time, isn't it? I remember like Norwich coming to the old White Hart Lane, doing similar stuff to us. And, you know, it's something that seems to be embedded in us recently since we really had the marauding fullbacks of Walker and Rose, really, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's the key, the marauding aspect. There's no pace or dynamism with us. We lose the game in transition. We're not able to go from defence to attack quickly enough to get beyond other teams. you know, we've all talked about our defensive midfielders that just pass the ball back to the defence when they get it, whereas actually their job is to turn around and look and see what's happening. You know, I think Winks has, on occasion, been fantastic. You know, he's played those three balls, he's played balls from deep, or he's played, you know, insightful passes. But more often than not, he gets the ball and he gives it back to the centre-back, or he gets the ball and it gives it back to the full-back. Why there aren't two or three players in midfield passing the ball between them and getting it forward, I really don't know. That injection of pace would turn teams around. I know we're going to come on to the game from the weekend, but that is something that happened at the weekend. Because we had a team that was pressing us and pushing us back, we were able to break, open the gaps and get beyond them. What we need, and you know, every team needs it, is that player to unlock the door, you know, to play the clever pass, the reverse ball, the ball that people aren't expecting. But you've got to do that at pace, because if you've got five players between you and the goal, it's going to be difficult. But you look at other teams, they get forward quickly and in numbers. And so, you know, there's options for them rather than the obvious pass that is just going to get cut out.
There are other fullbacks which do seem to be doing that, as you said. And I mean, I think of obviously Doherty, who's a right wing back. Even Bellerin the other day in the game against us was doing that. But it's, and do you think that who is telling Aurier not to do that? Because Aurier's got that in his locker to do that. He's got a bit of pace. He can do that. Do you think it's a lack of confidence like Trippier had towards the end of his career with us, or do you think it's something that Mourinho is saying don't go that far forward? Because at the beginning of Mourinho's reign, he was pretty much playing the right wing. Davies was pulling in, and he was almost playing right. He was almost playing five across the middle because Aurier was that right winger. But now it just seems that he just seems to be that a little bit more hesitant when going forward. It must be a confidence thing, surely.
I don't think he's got the quality, and that, you know, will draw a line directly to confidence, you know, not only of him, but in other people. Because if you've got the ball and you've got two options, you're thinking, he's got to beat a man before he gets that ball across. I'm not going to pass it to him. You know, if he's wide open and in space, absolutely, you know, and five times out of 10, that cross will come across. But you can't give him the ball in the way that you would a right winger. A right winger has got tricks and skills and will get past their man. Whereas, essentially, he is a fullback. Give him the ball where he can just ping it first time because he's not under pressure, and that's fine. So, you know,
The issue almost is the fact that Sissoko was almost playing there, wasn't he? And so it was back to the old Sissoko, which we never really liked in terms of, because he can't really cross it. And so he was getting into those sort of advanced right positions, which is a waste because his talent's wasted there and there's no need for him to be there. We much prefer him, obviously, centrally, and winning the ball back and driving forward. So it was more a formation or selection choice then to not have someone on the right wing above Aurier, do you think?
I don't know why we persist with Serge on the right in this particular formation, because people listening to our fan base is quite funny, actually, because there's a large percentage that think his delivery is actually quite decent, and I think a couple of strikes where he scored, like striking across the keeper in a couple of games, is clouded their decision making. And
I mean, he's come up with a couple of pearlers in his, but in recent months, I would say, I would go as far as saying, as in terms of, like, obviously since we've been back from lockdown, I mean, like, talking about hitting the first man on many, 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 many occasions, and it's just not good enough. Especially if it's literally like the only outlet that we have, the focus becomes more on him, and that's unfair on him because he shouldn't have that focus. It shouldn't be so important for us. We should have other options, but because he does seem to be the only option, then it's all on him. And then when he does get in those positions, there's a big like groan when it does hit the first man, and that's so frustrating.
We've had this conversation before, whereby talk about put Moura out there or put Bergwijn out there because they are wingers, and get someone at right back who plays right back. You know, if Serge can't play right back because positionally he's not entirely sure of where he should be, then he shouldn't be playing.
And just, I mean, just on that, because we go around in circles, and you're right, we repeat ourselves every week. And if we go into the Arsenal game, we'll end up repeating all of this again, because it is all repeated. Ultimately, our formation and the way our style of play looks is that it's set around having Serge out there as the outlet. And we give him the ball, and he goes back to Musa. We give him the ball again, and he goes back to one of the defenders. And we give him the ball again, and he'll hit the first man. He's not running the ball down into danger zones. He's not running the ball down into the corner flag and winning his corners or throws deep down. He's not doing that. He's getting a lot of service. He's getting a lot of the ball, and he's choosing not to. So he's either doing that for a couple of reasons. One, he's not confident enough. Or two, he's actually just not good enough to do it. But my problem with it is, who's making that call? Because now it's got to come back to the management and the coaching staff going, if Serge is our outlet and we keep persisting with it, they've got to have a look at what they're doing, because the opposition, any good opposition, will go, I'll tell you what we do with Serge Aurier. What do you do with him? Oh, you let him have the ball.
Exactly.
Leave him out there. Let him have the ball. And therefore, our whole formation and our whole tactical approach and attack is all then nullified, because teams are going, don't go rushing out to him. Don't worry about it. He'll give it away. Take it off him. When he hits the first man, we can break behind him into that space. And that's where you see Sissoko and Lo Celso running back. They make more tackles in that right back area than any other player, including Serge.
Yeah, well, exactly. I completely agree with that. I can see why. I mean, you know, and this is one of the reasons why we just didn't want to carry on and do the shows and have this sort of like negativity. And obviously, we are trying to analyze here. We are trying to get to the bottom of it. We're not just having a moan and we're not having a pop. We are trying to work out what's going on, because at the end of the day, we're Tottenham fans. We want success, and we want to try and work out positive ways to get through this, because it's not a great time. And I think you're very, very right in terms of people are obviously seeing that, because we're seeing that, and it's not stupid. And it's very, very frustrating to see. And then especially, obviously, you then see Kyle Walker-Peters have a blinder against Sterling and co, get a clean sheet. And we're obviously big fans of him in the show. And now Mourinho's talking about he's probably going to be letting him go. And for me, it just infuriates me, because I think he just wasn't given a fair crack of the whip, and he would be an ample replacement, if not better, and he should be in the team. So that's what we're at. So anyway, that's our little summary of the last few games up to the derby. So it was the North London derby on Sunday. I must admit, I've never been less interested in a derby in my life. And that's such a horrible thing to say. And it's such a shit feeling to have. I used to get so excited about these games and so nervous. And obviously going to the game was different. But even the games at the Emirates or in Highbury, they were still games that we were just like massively keen for. I think obviously the fact that there's no fans at the games, it has changed things. I think obviously the VAR has definitely sucked some life out of the game, I think, with some of the decisions that have been there recently. It's put people off football, and I think that's really, really sad. Hopefully that's going to be improved, and then hopefully, obviously, our team is going to improve as well. So I know there was quite a lot of people in a similar situation. I did manage to catch the game, although it definitely wasn't as exciting as I didn't feel as excited as I hoped I would be, but it was still a good performance. Good analysis, I thought, by Jermaine Genus yesterday on Match Day 2 as well, about sort of Jose's tactics. So let's start with those, because I think it was sort of a classic Jose performance that we've seen before, in terms of when he did have Chelsea and he went to Man City and he won, and when he did have Man U and he's gone to places and he snatched victories. He did very much sit back. He gave Arsenal a lot of the ball, especially in the second half. And he just basically banked on their defence being as shit as they were and are, which I suppose is a good tactic because it proved right. However, is that all it's going to be now? Is that what we have to look forward to, is basically in big games, us literally giving possession away and waiting for mistakes and trying to hit teams on the break? As we saw yesterday. And is this going to be the case across all games, you think? Or is it just the big games where he's going to be as defensive as he was? Because we were the home team, remember? I know, obviously, there was no crowd, but still, surely more of the impetus should have been on us, Lee. Do you not agree?
Agreed, mate. But we've spoken, and We've touched on it, haven't we? And I've kind of said, look, typical standard Mourinho, as we know him, whether he's at Chelsea, whether he's at Man U, wherever he's been, is when the big games come to town, he does that. That's how he sets up. What we seen yesterday would be Jose's team against City, against Chelsea. That's what he does. That's what he's got to do. So I think if he's going to be around, unfortunately, we need to get used to that when the big teams come to town. It's sad to say, because it always seems negative, doesn't it? It always seems like we're all saying he doesn't fancy us to go up against him, you know, in a shootout. So it always feels a bit negative and it's not a great vibe. But he will point to numerous medals and numerous trophies and say, this is how I've done it. This is how I've won. You know, I've pushed past the weaker teams and I've kept them, the bigger teams, to a minimum. And I've pickpocketed them, or, you know, I've done them, and that's how I win my trophies. So, you know, we're going to have to accept that.
But it's a classic counter-attacking ploy, isn't it? And I remember that we actually did it against, and we sometimes did it in some of the big games with Poch, against Real Madrid, Dortmund, and maybe Man City, I remember, in terms of, like, giving them the ball. It wasn't as defensive, but I remember that it was clear to see that if we did, and was evident yesterday, get the ball over the press, then we were in. And that does seem to be the way. Against teams that do come out with a high press, it does make sense to sort of like sit back and then go over them. However, when you've got the ball, I think then that's the difference in terms of like move forward as a team and not sit back, because that seems to be the difference in terms of like we're not pushing forward as a team ourselves. We're literally sitting back and then just almost waiting for us to be in our own half so we can then break in the opponent's half.
I think under that formation, I think under those tactics, what you're looking for ideally is when those teams come to town, you're looking for two ways to approach them and attack them. One is do what we did yesterday. We let them have the ball until their defence literally pushed up to the halfway line, almost like Bournemouth did, funnily enough. And then we pop it over the top, or we pop it into the holes so that Kane and Son could challenge. And we'll try and hit one to break that way. Obviously, if teams don't kind of fall into that, sometimes you've got to win the ball free, you know, halfway in your own half. What you want to see, or what we want to see as fans then, is actually not just popping it over the top, not just going bang, chase that. We want to see them put a few passes together and play a bit of football up the pitch. That would be the ideal way, because you're going, right, actually, we're confident that we can kill some time here. We're confident that we can pull them apart with a few passes, and we're confident that we can get them working and give them a bit more food for thought, rather than them going, oh, every time we get it, we're popping over the top. All of a sudden, we start popping it around the middle of the pitch, and again, that will draw their players out. It draws their defence out, because they've got to apply pressure. So we want to see a bit more of that. I don't like to see just banging over the top. I'd like to see us be confident enough to try and ping it around a bit in the middle, and, you know, just it mixes it up. But it didn't look like we had the ability to mix it up yesterday. And to be fair, the two previous games, it didn't look like we had the ability to mix it up. So he's played safe. He's gone, let them have it. We get it, and we pop it into this hole and this hole, just down the side of their central defence and their fullbacks. Just pop it in that hole and we'll take it from there. We'll press them from there. And fortunately, you know, he looks like he's readjusted. He messed around with the formation a bit. So we went with a 4-4-2, which allowed Son to be up with Kane, to give him something to flick on and for somebody to chase. And it worked. And I think that's what maybe has been missing in previous games. So, you know, maybe if that's the way we're going to play, long as there's two up the top, then long may it continue. You know, if it's got to get us up the table and nick some points.
Kofi, for you, who are your standout performers in our win?
I think it was interesting because the players that usually play well for us were our strengths. So Son being able to run, take players on, be composed in front of goal. Kane, active and getting fitter and fitter with every game, running strongly, getting past players. And Toby being, you know, great in the box as he has been on several occasions. So what gave us our goals and what ultimately, you know, won us the game, apart from the errors that were in the game on both teams, were, for me, our strongest players.
Do you think that the forward line, well, it's actually funny because there was a stat that Moura made 10 tackles, which was more than anyone, or when more than he's ever done, or I can't remember what the exact stat was, but it's not really what he's in the team for, though, to be fair, is it? And that was a bit of an interesting stat. He looked like he was a bit more creative, I thought. He was maybe just sort of pulling out a few more inside passes, and that little chip over to Kane after 10 minutes was quite nice. He looked a little bit more lively, but I still think it seems to be the problem with quite a few of them at the moment in the team. When they're getting in those positions, Son just looked a bit greedy. I mean, obviously, that's sort of his style. He would probably always more shoot than pass, but and Kane is obviously very greedy. We know that.
I think Moura, you know, you picked out a couple of passes there. They were fantastic, you know, over the top, and the through ball in the second half. They were brilliant. And he got stuck in. I think he often does get stuck in. The thing we see a lot with him, though, is running down blind alleys. And that tends to stick in your mind. But he is active and he does want to get involved. On the question of Son, I'm not sure the angle was there to pass to Kane. And by the time there was a bit of clear space, Kane would have been offside.
Yeah.
And if Son had scored, wow, wonder goal. He's picked it up on the halfway line and he's gone through and he scored a goal. So, you know, fortunately, we won the game. So you don't need to point the finger. And also, he could have been a hero. And I don't think I'm going to blame strikers for being selfish.
No, not at all. I don't think so. I think it sometimes can be a good thing, but it was just from looking at a few comments that people have said. Sissoko, how do you think he did? People were saying that he could have been man the match almost that game, which I was surprised at.
I have to agree with what Lee was saying earlier, in that Sissoko was doing the things for us that he does when he's playing well, and that is tackling, covering, picking the ball up when other people, you know, may have, you know, dropped us in a little bit, surging up the field, pushing people off him, getting the ball forward. And that's what he does. He's a, you know, a bustling, active midfield player. But that slightness of touch and that depth through ball isn't Sissoko. So I don't think we should expect it. You know, we know that he was scoring for fun for a couple of weeks at White Hart Lane, and everyone loved it because you didn't expect it. It was the icing on top of the cake. It wasn't, you know, what you'd normally expect to have. So if he's able to play his game, he plays his game really well. And we need other players around him to do the other jobs. So
it's quite funny, actually, because obviously I said that I wasn't that interested in the game. But seeing the reactions of those idiots on the Scum TV and stuff like that, I just like that brought it back for me. I was just like, this does actually mean something, because what just absolute tools. It was just brilliant to see. They're getting so excited and then they just get shot down, and it's just like, oh, it was fantastic. So yeah, that was one good thing that came out of it. I was just like, yes, because I wanted obviously the win, but again, with the whole Jose situation, I feel like it almost has papered over the cracks and almost maybe given him a bit more time. And I just, as we've already spoken about, I just find his tactics quite negative. But at the end of the day, if it is the case that Levy is going to stick with him, and then we just have to accept it. We're not just going to come on this show every week and start moaning about his tactic, because that's just like boring for you to listen to and boring for us to talk about, and it's just very negative, and it's just not what we do, because that's how the Scum TV grew and became what it was, because all they used to do is just go on and just like completely slate Wenger. That's not what we're about, and so I just want to make that clear that that's not going to happen. If it's clear that this is going to be the way, then obviously we're going to get behind the team and support them every week as we do. But it's just something that we're going to have to accept. And I think we're just so used to having a more attack-minded team with Pochettino and previous managers that it's just taken a while for us to become accustomed to it. And obviously the whole sort of the COVID football situation and VAR, everything is compounded to just make this whole situation just weird. So I think it's not just us being negative about it. I just think it's a general sort of strange feeling to have.
Yeah. I think it's important that we point out as well, Noel, that between all of us, we all speak to various different friends and Tottenham supporters of different groups and spread, you know, far and wide. It's not, we don't just kind of keep it in-house. So we do get a fair, we do get a fair understanding of how some of the other fans feel as well. So it's just not us just spouting just our sole opinion. And there is a real kind of, there is something in the air where people fail, they're failing to find or see a positive in the way we're playing. And I understand it and I get it. But we, I think ultimately when Jose's not going anywhere before the end of next season, as we point out, and probably not even before, you know, probably halfway through the season after, if it was to continue the way it does. The only thing I would like to see, there's two things. One, I don't want to see the circus come to town. I don't like the circus. I don't like people laughing at us and going, oh, you're that kind of club. And so therefore, I don't like the stupid news reports, the stupid, you know, when he's answering reporters. I don't like all of that. Not a fan of aeroplanes flying over with banners on them either.
Apparently the guy was just, it was a scam artist, wasn't he? He went away with the money. It was never going to happen. Which I suggested was actually might have been one of Levy's plans. It sounds like a Levy plan. It sounds like something that he would come up with.
My biggest concern is the change room. From a player's perspective, you know, Jose deals with players in a funny way sometimes, and I wouldn't like to see it go tits up at the club. And we lose two or three players that a lot of us would like to keep. And ultimately then Jose walks out the door and we're worse off for it. So that's my biggest concern. If we lose Ndombele and he goes to Barca and he turns out to be, you know, the real business, we're going to have to ask some questions. But if we lose him and he doesn't, then great. You know, I'm thinking Lo Celso could probably play that deep anyway, and we're better off investing the money in a playmaker. So it might not be the worst thing, but let's hope that he's dealing with players the right way. I don't want players leaving and then coming out and slagging us off and slagging him off, and because it's not going to help our cause moving forward.
I can just see there's going to be a coming together with him and Levy, though. There's going to be a point where he's going to have a shopping list, as all managers do. And he's obviously made up his mind about a few players on the team. And he's surely just going to, he's going to ask for bucks, basically, and he's not going to get it. Levy's not like that. So something's going to happen. Like, Kofi, what is going to happen? Come on, you, with your soothsayer. Come on, clairvoyant. Talk to me.
Maybe Mourinho needs to change and, you know, needs to step up a little bit. Needs to look at the youth team and think, who can I bring in and who can I develop? Because he's not going to get his 200 million. He can't do Spurs what he's done at other clubs. We just don't have that kind of money, and if we do, we don't spend it. So, you know, he's steeped in football. You know, we all know what he's done and what he's won, and I want to see him improve. You know, he can't be happy with what happened at United. Yeah, they won a couple of trophies, but ultimately people see that period as a failure, and that he dragged the team down, not just in terms of the league table, but in terms of their morale and their fight. And, you know, we've talked about Luke Shaw. You look at Pogba, there are players there that are playing so much better now that he's not there. So surely he wants to improve his reputation and develop and change. You know, he started off, as we all know, as the interpreter and developed into a world-class football manager. So he can change, he can develop. We just need to see it happen pretty quickly.
So we had the news this morning that Man City have had their European ban lifted, so they are going to be in the Champions League next season. Incredibly frustrating, but we weren't going to be in there anyway, even if it was fifth place. What do we think is going to happen then with that, those Europa League places? Obviously, if one of the teams wins the FA Cup, it will go down another place. We've sort of had this discussion on the WhatsApp group in the past couple of days. What are our general thoughts about, do we need to be in Europe? Is it purely a financial thing? I mean, it's probably talking about 30, 40 million. Obviously, with the sort of the financial constraints that clubs have had over the past few months because of COVID, 30, 40 million is not to be sniffed at. However, the amount of games, the amount of travelling that it has playing on the Thursday to Sunday normally seems to be quite frustrating for teams. And it is obviously extra games, but then it could be extra games for the likes of Tanganga, Parrot, Sessegnon, Skip to get some game time, to get some European football under their belt and to move on. So what are we thinking? Are we sort of like in the yes camp in terms of, yes, we do want to be in Europe, Lee? Or are you thinking, no, it would be good to have a year out to really just concentrate on improving elsewhere?
Yeah, well, you kind of stole my thunder there, haven't you, really? In terms of what we've been discussing. So from a personal perspective, I would welcome a year out. However, from a club...
You're just and talking about financially, because you don't want to go on European away days because they're expensive.
from a club and a team perspective moving forward, I think if you're going to attract players from abroad, you're going to want to attract... we're not going to get top players at the moment because the whole COVID thing and not being in Champions League, so the money's going to be a bit tighter. But there might be a chance to pick up a couple of players who will come along because we are playing European football. So I think it still holds that little bit of power when you're trying to sign a half decent player. So I think from that perspective, we need to be in it. But as you point out there, I'm not for the travelling. I'm not for the Thursday game, Sunday game. You see what it does to some teams. But the positives there are, if it's done right and it's done the correct way, Cess plays, Parrot plays, Tanganga gets an extra game under his belt every week. And there might be fringe players there that will, you know, they'll take their time and go, okay, well, I'll stay another season because I'll be able to play a game here and there. So I think, yeah, I think we need to be in it. Financially, it actually doesn't help us because Europa doesn't pay particularly well. Once you're all done, said and done with your travels and your expenses, the net sum isn't nowhere near what it is for the Champions League. So, listen, we want to stop our decline. We want to be spoken about when players are up for sale. We want to be in that mix. And I think, unfortunately, we need to be maybe as a minimum playing Thursday night football.
Yeah, agreement, Kofi. You were nodding there. I wasn't sure if you were just vibes in or you just, I don't know.
I'm nodding in full agreement. I think, you know, players, we're not going to get this sort of war chest to go and buy lots of players. But if we need to tip the balance with something, then I think being in Europe is helpful. Particularly if we're buying in players from outside of the UK. I think the notoriety is good. It's good to be in Europe and for clubs to be aware of you. And, you know, if Dortmund would never want to play us. We love playing Dortmund. And if you can have victories against other teams and they fear you in the future, then, you know, that's always good. And experience, you know. We're talking about Parrot and Skip and others. If they've got that experience of the travel, the flights, the hotel, the getting prepared for that, you know, late night game in the week and coming back and having to play at the weekend, that's useful going forward. So, there are, you know, some benefits of, as we've seen with Leicester and Chelsea in the past of not playing in the Europa League. But I'll stick my neck out and say that we're not going to win the league next year. So let's be in Europe.
So negative. Unbelievable. all right. Okay, so we have got a couple of games this week to talk about. We've got the Wednesday game against the Geordies up in St. James, isn't it? All that way to go. Our record up there is not bad. It's... yeah, we sort of do okay up there. We seem to lose it to them at home, actually, like we did this season. So they seem to be a little bit hit and miss, but they're doing okay. They've got some decent players. That Sam Maxim seems to be pretty decent. Defensively, they're doing okay. So it should be an interesting one. I mean, are we expecting sort of the same again in terms of like the sort of the lineup and formation to go up there? Kofi, what are you expecting from the Geordie game?
I think hopefully the lineup will be pretty similar because we've had some positivity. And so, you know, you should keep going with that team. But I do fully expect that Jose will change it around a little bit, particularly in midfield. Newcastle, unfortunately, they've started scoring goals. You know, they had strikers that hadn't scored in 10, 20 games. And, you know, they've all started, you know, nicking a little goal or two. So I can see us letting goals in. I'm going to go for a draw. I don't often do this because I like to see my team win, but I'm thinking it's going to be a 2-2 draw.
A 2-2 draw? I mean, that would mean that we'll score two goals, so that would be fun. But then, obviously, yeah, you know, letting in the two is not great. Lee, what are you thinking prediction-wise?
Yeah, I rarely go negative with predictions. Always kind of put us down to win, which means that probably since we've been in the show, we would have won the Champions League and the
We've done very well. Yeah, we've got a league table and it's very, very good.
We're decent.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be a bit of a realist. I'm gonna look at what's going on right now, and I'm still gonna edge on the side of hope, and I'll go for a 3-2 victory.
Where are you guys getting these goals from?
Because Newcastle shipped 9 in their last 3, but they also happen to be scoring at the moment. So I'm going for them to be shitter than us.
Okay. That's obviously, you know, classic punditry there. Appreciate that. Fair enough. I'm gonna go for 2-1. I still think we've got enough. What I quite like about it is we've still got some attacking talent on the bench at the moment, even if he's bringing it on a little bit too late. I'm still liking the fact that we have got a bit more coming on. So I think, depending on which team you'll start with, I'm not sure, but I think we should have enough. So and it was good to see Toby back playing a strong game at the weekend, and I think him coming back into the team has definitely helped us, definitely calmed us down a little bit. So yeah, happy days, 2-1, and then a further 3 points on Sunday against the Foxes. Then Lee, is that what you're saying? Is that what you're coming out with?
I'm going all in. I've chucked my chips down on the table, mate. Jesus. I'm going for a super Noel Tourette's. I'm going for a two-one, mate.
I mean, they had a crazy result the other day, didn't they, against Bournemouth? Yeah. That was some serious nuts. That was a seriously nuts game. Like, obviously, as we knew that Bournemouth are not that easy to play against, but you know, they did manage to get a shot on target against them. But they just completely crumbled. Like, I've not seen a team crumble like that in a long time. It was mad. Absolutely mad. So you're going for what's 2-1, yeah?
2-1.
Okay, yeah. And Kofi?
I see us getting a result at Leicester. I'm going for 2-1.
2-1 as well. Okay. I think it's going to be scrappy. I think 1-1. I think 1-1. I'm going to go 1-1. Boring. Sorry. I'm going to say 1-1. Yeah. That's the prediction. Awesome. All right. Thanks, guys. Thank you once again for listening, everybody at home, in your cars, wherever you are. My name's Noel Verbon. This has been the Thing I Love Most show. Thank you to Lee. Thank you to Kofi once again. It's been nice to see you guys. Apologies again about the wait, the delay. Hopefully it's not going to be the same again. And we will catch up with you guys again this time next week. So probably on a Monday after the Newcastle and the Leicester games. So hopefully we'll have 6 points to discuss and thrilling victories. Thrilling victories. Look at those. Hands in the air. Palms being rubbed. If only you could see these guys. Oh, fantastic. Great work, guys. Lovely to see you. And we will catch you again next week. And once again, TTLM Show on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter and Instagram. Follow us, subscribe, share. If you do want to get involved in the show, just drop us a message. I think was the word I was looking for. There we go. Drop us a message. Top stuff, guys. And we'll see you again next week. All the best. We're singing the rain. It's right.